This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is Inside Story with Lee Chui Lin and Sharmila Ganesan. Tonight, what is going on with Suhakam?
So this comes as they've been operating for more than a month without a new chairman or commissioners to replace the five who have stepped down. So first, we hear from Gerald Joseph, former commissioner, about what's happening behind the scenes. Then, what is the role of Suhakam when it comes to our human rights scene?
We want to know, do you think human rights is enough of a priority to our government? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08. So, Suhakam, the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia, has been operating for more than a month without a new chairman or commissioners. And the context for that is that five Suhakam commissioners stepped down at the end of April, April 27th, having completed the maximum of two terms of 3 years each. Right now, there are only four commissioners left. And this is something that has actually happened twice before in 2016 and 2019. Both times, the government did take about 2 months to appoint new commissioners. But of course, considering the role that Suhakam is supposed to play in our country, especially when it comes to human rights, when it comes to upholding human rights, I think this has been cause for concern.
Yes. So just so we're clear, Suhakam is essentially, so Suhakam was established under the Human Rights Commission of Malaysia Act 1999, and they have four functions. So to promote awareness and provide education relating to human rights, to advise and assist the government in formulating legislation and procedures, as well as to recommend measures to be taken, to recommend to the government on matters relating to, treaties or other international instruments relating to human rights, as well as to inquire into complaints infringing on human rights issues. All very important roles, and which have, of course, had wide-ranging impact on various issues in Malaysia. So obviously, the fact that they're unable to fulfill this capacity has been a cause for concern. So last Friday, eight NGOs released a statement urging the government to appoint new members without delay. They pointed out that Suhakam is unable to make statements or give recommendations to the government or hold public inquiries as long as this isn't done. And these groups also emphasize the importance of appointing commissioners who would act without fear or favor for human rights.
Yes. Specifically, they said that appointing the, quote, wrong kinds of commissioners may result in a less vocal Suhakam, especially when the alleged perpetrators may be the state or state officers. And I think that kind of transparency and that kind of voice is important, especially in those contexts, especially in our country. And so that's where we are. Former commissioners Gerald Joseph and Ma Wing Kwai also criticised the government's lack of urgency, saying that it reflected the lack of importance that the government gives to human rights matters. And Gerald, who is going to be our guest shortly, also said he's not sure of the reason behind this delay, seeing as applications for the posts had actually started last October, which you would think would have given people ample time. Meanwhile, Datuk Mas said that new policies cannot be decided on and training sessions cannot be held without new commissioners because, of course, you know, who are you talking to? Chairs. So this is where we are. And I think that while sure we can look to the past and say that it took 2 months, there is also the question of why is it that this is continuing to happen. I go back again to the role and the prominence that Suhakam holds, right? Especially when it comes to upholding, investigating, you know, just performing a function for human rights in our country.
Yes, and I do think that the fact that it's happened twice before is perhaps even more reason why, if we knew that the situation was upcoming, there are ways in which to plan for it. Clearly, there are no, it's not an issue or it's not an issue or process on Suhakam's side that is the delay. So I do think that especially at a time like this, with so many pressing issues about human rights that keep coming up, it is important also for the government to be sending out the right signals in terms of their commitment to human rights.
So we want to hear from you. Do you think that human rights is enough of a priority to our government? You can call us 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Gerald Joseph, former commissioner of Suhakam, on this. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We are talking today about Suhakam having been operating for more than a month without a new chairman or commissioners after five commissioners stepped down at the end of April, having completed their maximum of two terms. So and this has been read in some ways as the government not placing enough emphasis on human rights, which is our question to you. Do you think that human rights is enough of a priority to our government, seeing as this state of affairs exists? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now to talk about this and take us behind the scenes is Gerald Joseph, former commissioner of Suhakam. Gerald, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you for the—
So you stepped down as Suhakam Commissioner at the end of April. Since then, as we've been saying, the Commissioner has been without a chairman as well as new commissioners to replace those whose terms ended in that period. What can you tell us about what's happening here?
So I think this is a practice that is not good. This is not the first time. Even the last two times when in my appointment as a Commissioner, there was a delay of about 2 months plus, and we've always given our feedback that it should have been prepared way before, because it's not the date for our end of our term is known 3 years prior. So there's enough ample time, and the Bagian Halewal Undang-Undang, Bayu, which is the secretary that manages appointments and selection, starts the process very early in October. It was newspaper for application. But then, along the way, we don't know what happened. And then we realized that come April, no sign, no hint, no movement. And that's really not how appointment processes for any statutory body, for that matter, even government of the day, appointments for local councillors, it should be seamless. We should never allow this to happen. But somehow or other, this has allowed to be happen, and it's sort of like, okay, it'll happen soon, let's just wait around. And I think that's why, despite our reminders when we were commissioners, telling Bayu and the government that this must be good practice, we are again in the same scenario as it was before.
So what are the reasons behind this delay?
Well, there should not be any logical reason that I can think of. then you can only speculate why is it so difficult for the mechanisms for such a straightforward— I use the word straightforward because it is mentioned in the Act, Suhakam Act, how the procedures for appointment of commissioners should be held, you know. So there is a provision in the Act that says a five-person committee chaired by the Chief Secretary of the Government, and one of its members will be the outgoing chairperson, plus three independent civil society members. So the guess is, if that's already prescribed, you set that up, and then they will scrutinize the name list of those who are in or shortlisted. And then those names should be carried to the PM to carry to the Agong for the appointment. I mean, that is a straightforward answer I can give you. But I think the flaw of the procedures and processes is that we have not had a very transparent process in such a selection of the commission all this while. Transparent meaning, we should have made known of the names of the 5% committee, because it's crucially important for confidence to be built on who these people of eminence who have the knowledge and experience to choose and decide the commissioners for the next three-year term. But that has not happened, although we have submitted that as part of our amendments to Suhakam Act the last 3 years to better the processes. And number two, the shortlist names, I would think, would be good practice to also inform the public that, you know, this will have applied and now we've got 20 and this committee will choose the 20 is the best. You know. So there are best practices in other countries. I mean, Indonesia has a high threshold for verification. The shortlisted people have to go on television debate. They have to be scrutinized by parliament, you know, so before they get selected and confirmed by the president. So I think part of it, the processes are a little bit vague and behind the veil, and I think that does not build confidence. And that's why I cannot really answer you what could be the possible reason. I hope it's not because of meddling from the top or anything else. But I want to tell you that it's technical, so I can't really give you that because it started already a long time ago in October.
And in your view, then, what does this signal in terms of the government's prioritization of human rights?
Well, I think this is the sad state of affairs. Human rights is always by the way for the government in Malaysia since the last few decades. And we were pleasantly surprised 22 years ago with the creation of an oversight human rights commission. And this commission is much more improved from when it was started because there was an amendment in 2007 to give it better clout and independence. We still think much more needs to be done. But I think this is one of the important elements for oversight for any government in order to know what is good, what is lacking, what is weak, you know. And it only the motivation of Suhakam all this while was that we investigate, we receive issues, we take up proposals for policy and law, only with the motivation that Malaysia can do better and must do better. And so it doesn't really matter which government is at hand. And in my term, a six-year term as a commissioner, I had to sit through four different governments, and all the time we were as friendly and as critical. And that's the role of an independent oversight body. So you should just get used to this statute-created functionary that actually is to help the government improve. Of course, it's painful to hear some of our findings, but that's a given because you get the good and the bad comes in one package. So I would really hope this government, these two new governments after Pakatan Harapan, should actually have shown some better resolve for human rights. But sadly, that's not been the case. There's much more silence and non-actions on many of the proposals of reform that had taken off the ground in 2018 when the agenda of reform was. But then we know what has happened in Malaysia with the Sheraton move and then the new government of Prime Minister Ismail Sabri. I only would expect that any government who wants to be government should actually outdo the previous in terms of human rights. But that's not the case in Malaysia. Human rights is still seen as something of like an aversion. It's difficult for governments. And I think a first world nation that we aspire to be should never think of human rights in that way.
Could you actually tell us what a commissioner's role is and how important they are for Suhakam's activities?
The function of the commission actually resides in the powers created by the Act. And so the formalized powers of all parts and parcels of Suhakam is actually decided by the commission. And when I use the word the commission, means the commissioner. Commission is comprised of commissioners who actually have the powers to decide. And it's also in the Act on what are the powers of the Commission to decide. So we have to decide by consensus or two-thirds majority, which means every decision done by the Commission is decided by the Commissioner, which means all Commissioners or two-thirds of the Commissioners. And the Chairperson actually is a role and function to convene the meeting, but not given any extra powers apart from being one of the commissioners to ensure the commission makes decisions, which I think is a very good provision in our Act. For a long time, we actually take a lot of time to argue, to go in depth on issues and make decisions deliberately because we finally have to take responsibilities for decisions made. And then from then flows the direction of the commission action and work, which is then taken on by our very hardworking team of about 90 staff in three offices in Kuching, Kota Kinabalu, and Kuala Lumpur, led by the chief secretary and assisted by three deputy secretaries. So that's why the commissioner's role is actually important for the commission to function. But of course, commissioners can never function without without the staff team there. So every decision is made by our commission. And even I give you an example, when a complaint is submitted to Suhakam, so automatically it triggers the complaints department to assign officers to do the investigation. So they will call, they will take a statement from people, and then they will prepare the paper on what that complaint is. And then that will have to go through the working group, which comprises, led by commissioners. I was the chair of the last working group, and the team of commissioners there will have to decide if the recommendation to proceed or not. And once it's decided, it's endorsed by the commission. So every part and component of the commission is actually decided upon by the commission, which means commissioners.
And so, considering this then, what systems are in place to ensure that the most suitable candidates are the ones who are selected? I mean, what kind of criteria is used here?
So, this is why the criteria is not made public. And this has always brought a lot of question marks, you know. And in the selection, when you apply for the form, it basically says 40 years and above. It says you have a good experience and knowledge on human rights, and that should be your qualification, and then you submit the CV. But in the actual selection, I don't know what the nitty-gritty selection given to the team of independent, the committee, the 5-person committee, to decide who's in. And that's why I think, as I mentioned earlier, the commissioners are crucially important for Suhakam to be the standard bearer and the beacon for human rights. So it must be led by commissioners who have the competency of human rights, who have the knowledge, the experience of human rights, and who have the courage to stand up and defend human rights, and then you should be in this body. That's the expectation and hope, I think, by the public. But sadly, that criteria, I would hope, is utilized by the committee, but we never really know. But as I speak this, I also have my worries that, and I pray and hope, that this new set of commissioners will be far better and will take off on a greater standard, and not the reverse, because Suhakam has been incessantly attacked by what I would call right-wing NGOs. Many of them have religious leanings, and they have attacked Suhakam when we pick up a complaint on issues of freedom of religion, on death penalty, on LGBT. And Suhakam really has no choice to pick and choose, because human rights is for all, and it's all human rights for all. You cannot be an independent commission if you want to decide that, oh, today I'll only work with this group, and too bad for the rest of you. In Malaysia, this is not allowed. We cannot. The Human Rights Commission's mandate is derived from the understanding of human rights as in the federal constitution. Of course, there are limitations, but also guided by the universal principles of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So I would expect the commissions who are being now vetted or being debated or discussed should actually have a brilliant CV on human rights, a strength and courage of human rights, if Malaysia, if this government is serious about bringing on a better standard bearer for human rights through Suhakam in Malaysia.
Gerald, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Gerald Joseph, former commissioner of Suhakam, explaining really how it is that commissioners are actually appointed to the role, and also doing his best, right, to give us an understanding of why it is that there has been a delay in appointing new commissioners, a new chairman. Right now, they've been operating without 5 commissioners and a chairman for a month now. We'd like to hear from you. Is human rights enough of a priority to our government? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's just about 6:39 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking today about Suhakam, more specifically, the fact that Suhakam has been operating for more than a month now without a new chairman or replacements for five commissioners who stepped down in on April 27th, having completed their maximum of two terms. Now, this delay has been of concern to civil society groups. It's also been of concern to some commissioners who pointed out that, well, you know, it speaks to a lack of urgency on the government's part. And we've been asking you, is human rights enough of a priority to our government? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Before we get to our next guest, Fari Azad, we do have some messages.
So one from Linia actually points out, I think, a specific aspect or impact of this, right? Linia says the situation with Suhakam is definitely not going to help Malaysia get out of our tier 3 ranking in the US trafficking in persons report. How will the situation with Suhakam provide credibility to our national action plan to resolve forced labor? Read between the lines, how much does Malaysia, the Malaysian government, prioritize human rights?
So, the basis of our story today, right, in part is, of course, the situation with Suhakam, but the other part is that the call that's coming through from those eight civil society groups, NGOs, about this very thing. And I think this is exactly why, Linia, because when we think about the Human Rights Commission and the role that they're supposed to play, not just for themselves or for us, but in terms of furthering the work of other more specific, perhaps, organizations that are doing work on specific issues, for example, forced labor, migrant rights. And I think, you know, this lack of momentum, this lack of a voice is exactly the problem here.
Randy, meanwhile, first answering your question, does the Malaysian government prioritize human rights, says, of course not. And then says, did they not know that the terms were ending? To which our guest earlier made it quite clear that it's not a movable target. Everyone knows how it works.
3 years.
Yes.
You actually have 3 entire years to look for somebody if you wanted. But even if not, you have that amount of time. So, yes, I also don't have the answers. Let us know. Is human rights enough of a priority to our government? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So if we spent the first part of our show looking at what's happening behind the scenes, we now want to spend the second half expanding on the points that are being brought up by the messages, right? Essentially, the role of Suhakam when it comes to human rights in Malaysia. And for that, we are joined by Fari Azad, director at the Malaysian Centre for Constitutional and Human Rights. Fari, thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you. My pleasure. Good evening.
Good evening. So where does Suhakam fit into the larger picture of upholding human rights and civil liberties in Malaysia?
I would say they have a more aspirational kind of status as opposed to an effective one. So they fit in to be the government arm that's supposed to look into human rights. And given the laws that have been formed and the powers that are available to them, I think one of the first criticisms when it first came out were that they're a toothless tiger and they can't do anything meaningful. But I think, to be fair to them, they have done as much as they can to try and at least give human rights a kind of visible presence in Malaysia. So I think it's just to say, yes, there's supposed to be human rights here. We're supposed to be the commission, and they raise issues. So I would say that's how they fit to me.
So if we were to take a broader look, how would you describe the state of human rights in Malaysia at the moment?
Appalling, I suppose. I mean, having said that, you know, there are always more worse-off countries, but I don't think that should be an excuse for us to be happy with the state of things. There's definitely a lot that still can be done to bring human rights in Malaysia at least to an acceptable level where government is concerned. Lots to do.
Fari, I just wanted to expand on that because this is something that we hear about a lot. And, you know, in the context of your work, right? Why do you think there is a propensity to always look towards the people who are doing worse than us rather than looking towards the people who are doing better than us as aspirational?
Well, because it's easier, you know, it's easier to look at a place where human rights is, you know, non-existent and say, hey, at least we've got our thing, and then feel good about ourselves, you know. So as much as, you know, I think that's fair, we shouldn't just be content with that. You know, after we look at that, we should look at better jurisdictions and say, okay, how can we reach that, or what should we do to emulate that? So looking at others who are lesser than us, it's not a problem, but we just can't sit on our laurels because of that.
So if we look at Suhakam, and I mean, you alluded to this a little bit earlier, but how effective have they been over the years?
Well, frankly, I mean, from an effective standpoint, not really. Because look, Parliament doesn't even debate their reports, you know. So they keep preparing reports every year, but what's being done about it, you know? And you don't see any major change in the state of human rights since the appearance of Suhakam. So I think that's something that that's not a feather in their cap, if you can call it that, you know. So there's not a whole lot in terms of actual things that they do, you know. I mean, at best they can do is just to raise an issue. But, you know, even after they go and visit all these prison detention areas and all that, I don't know. I mean, we don't get the sense things are getting better either, you know.
And is it a question of the way in which the commission itself is set up, in the sense of the power and reach that they actually have? I mean, is that part of what it is, or is it just, is it something else?
No, I think that plays a very large role because, you know, they have been relegated really to an advisory kind of status, you know, to come up with policies, advise government, to go and look here and look there. But, you know, they are not given real any kind of enforcement powers. They're not given any kind of police powers. You know, I also wonder sometimes just how seriously the government takes Suhakam, you know. I'm not quite sure what else I can say about where Suhakam is on that, you know.
We're speaking today with Fari Azad, Director of the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights, basically about the role and the space that Suhakam occupies in our human rights landscape. We'd like to hear from you. Is human rights enough of a priority to our government? There have been suggestions that it isn't for a variety of reasons, but most recently because of this delay in appointing new commissioners and a chairman at Suhakam. We'd like to hear from you. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll continue our conversation with Fari after this. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:48 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Shamila. Tonight we're looking at Suhakam, and more specifically the fact that they have been running for more than a month now without a new chairman or commissioners to replace the five who had stepped down on April 27th. And, you know, that some people have been saying, well, why the delay? This needs to be resolved quickly. And we have been also seeing people refer to this as, you know, another way of showing how the government does not prioritize human rights, which is our question to you. Do you think human rights is enough of a priority to our government, in your view? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're continuing our conversation now with Fari Azad, Director at the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights, looking at, I suppose, where Suhakam fits into the human rights landscape in Malaysia. So Fari, briefly, right, how would you describe our government's working relationship with Suhakam? Has it been effective? Has it been balanced?
I don't think it has been effective, or there's been any balance, or there's been any partnership. Really, I think Sohakam was created out of this, you know, clamor for human rights. And okay, you all want human rights. Well, you got an organization, but you know, it can't really do anything. So, but we have the privilege of saying we have this human rights organization. But yeah, you know, in terms of government's working relationship with it, maybe there's something, but from on the ground, how we're feeling it from the legal perspective, doesn't seem like there's any working relationship. You don't see human rights being, incorporated into the education. You know, you don't see that being respected either at the especially at the executive level, right? You still hear of human trafficking going on or allegations to that effect. So, you know, just looking around and reading the news, it's hard to say, you know, human rights are being respected by the executive government, you know. So that's why I say what I say.
So 8 NGOs so far have called for the government to basically make haste and appoint those new members to spearhead Sohakam. What are the knock-on effects to human rights NGOs and the work they do when Sohakam is not running at full speed?
Well, I think it would just affect their ability to, I mean, if they have working relationships with these NGOs, then I think the NGOs will be paralyzed because of a lack of direction or lack of cooperation that comes from Sohakam's side. But really, you know, I think where actual advocacy and pushing for human rights is concerned, I think a lot of that has fallen onto on the citizens, on NGOs, on other organizations that you know, are actually taking effective measures like filing cases, advocating in the public. So in one sense, it does affect those, but I will think that it really has a greater impact on those that they are working with. For example, like MCCHR, it really doesn't matter. You know, we have our strategic litigation that goes on irrespective of what happens to Sohakam, you know. So I won't say it's a massive knock-on effect to the human rights agenda in Malaysia.
So there are concerns that this shows a lack of urgency on the part of the government when it comes to human rights, hence our question to the listener. I suppose two questions here to you. Would you agree? And why is it important that the government does send the right signals, at least when it comes to human rights?
I would agree simply because of the things I said earlier. You know, there's nothing in the executive action that shows any kind of consideration, never mind respect for human rights. Now, why is that important? Because human rights is tied up with all other, how should I say, positive and good things about a legal system. If there's human rights, then it's likely you have rule of law. If you have rule of law, it means that, okay, all the organs of government are functioning well. You know, the executive is doing what they're supposed to do, the legislature is doing what they're supposed to do, and the judiciary is doing what they're supposed to do. There are clear lines of, there are clear divisions of power and the exercise of that power. So what I think some don't understand is human rights is a very important consideration, especially for foreign investors that want to invest in Malaysia. Because, like I said, human rights is an indication that there's rule of law and there's stability of law, and the law is being implemented or interpreted in the right kind of way. So I will say the lack of human rights has an economic impact as well. So, you know, it may sound far, but far from each other, but human rights actually is good for business, you know. I mean, let's think about it as well. Why do businesses prefer, say, for example, England is a very well-known place for dispute resolutions, you know, for big value kind of disputes. It's because they can trust the judiciary, you know. They can trust there's rule of law there, and whatever happens, you know, they are going to follow the law. So coming back to human rights, you know, if you can't even respect the rights of individual people, you know, how likely are you going to be able to really, seriously, meaningfully respect the rights of everybody else? Because, you know, it starts with people. So that's why it's important. And that's why it's important for us to get our human rights organizations, implementation and laws right. But, you know, I mean, these things I feel sometimes are so far removed from our politicians because they can't see the immediate gains from these things. And these gains are not just personal. They accrue to the entire country.
Fari, you've referred to a number of the challenges with a body like Suhakam. Ideally speaking, what would you like to see from an institution in this capacity?
Well, generally, I would like to see them be given more bite in terms of their legislation. They should be able to call witnesses, lodge complaints, and actually take up human rights matters, you know, instead of simply just advising on policy and making visits. You know, Parliament should be debating these reports and talking about what we should do about these things. They should be given a bigger budget to be able to, you know, hire the right people and effective people to be able to carry out their functions, because, you know, they can even be a very important institution from a human rights perspective to ensure that, you know, the economy goes. So the sky would be the limit, you know, in terms of what can be given to them, in terms of being able to inculcate, human rights in Malaysia.
Fari, anything you'd like to leave us with?
Yes, one last thing. You know, I mean, I think citizens have to, where we are now in Malaysia, I think we mustn't be too hopeful about government organizations or organizations in general. You know, we've got to step up for ourselves and take up the fight for ourselves. We can't leave it to some of these organizations and then start complaining that they're doing nothing, because, you know, if you don't step up for your rights, you know, you're going to be forced to sit down for it.
Fari, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Pleasure.
That was Fari Azad, director at the Malaysian Centre for Constitutionalism and Human Rights, basically weighing in on Suhakam and the larger picture of human rights in our country in light of our hour-long conversation about the fact that Suhakam has been operating for more than a month without a new chairman or commissioners to replace the five who stepped down at the end of April, basically. And keep those thoughts coming. Is human rights enough of a priority to our government? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after the 7 o'clock news with your messages. You have been listening today to Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.